difference does Easter make for us? What does the resurrection mean? First of all, the resurrection of Jesus means that he is who he claimed to be. Now remember that separate the key focus that separates us, the key event that separates us from any other and all other religions is the resurrection. If there had not been a resurrection, all the rest would have never mattered. That's why the emphasis upon Easter Sunday, which we call Resurrection Sunday, the focus is on that resurrection. If Jesus had simply died and in that focus of him dying, that was it. Good man, did healing, did miracles, but he couldn't conquer the greatest fear of the human heart, death. So he did. So when Jesus focused on coming back, he kept telling everyone that he would. The ones who knew him and loved him the most, the inner circle, the 12, had no idea what he was talking about. Even to the point, remember, that when he did resurrect from the grave, they didn't believe the women when they come to tell them. You would have to read that, the focus of when they went to the door to tell them. And you can, if you take your time on studying it, you will find that they said, you women are crazy. I don't know what you saw. Well, they were the only ones that had the truth. They were the ones that said, I believe. Interesting that children never have trouble believing. We men are the ones that had the hardest heart. That was obvious. John 11, verse 25. Jesus speaking. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Once again, Jesus is relating to them from the human standpoint. You know, you will live eternal. Their focus right at that time is just like yours and mine is, wait a minute, I've got to die to do this? I'm going to have to die before that I can live? No. Let's get it straight. Jesus, that was his purpose. His purpose in birth was death. Your purpose, my purpose in birth is to live. Therefore, Jesus says it. He said, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. Again, over their head. What does that mean? It means that I'm the only one that has to die here. That's my purpose. I've come because I love you, and I've come so that you will know my love for you is true, and I'm the only one that has to die. And once you believe in me, you will never see death. See, Jesus said, I've come to conquer it all. There's not going to be anything that you can think of in your mind or any act that can be taken against you that I am not going to take care of for you. I love you so much. I promise you that as soon as that third day, I will come back conquering death. You see, that's why we never die. You and I separate from this body. It's called passing on, or before they passed over, or pass on. That's the true definition of what happens to a Christian. True definition of what happens to a lost person is they die. Then they're dead in their trespasses and sin. Jesus says you will never see the death. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to to God the Father except by means of me. Impossible. Good works won't do it. Good looks won't do it. A lot of money won't do it. All of Jesus. Because it's already done. You see, I cannot pay for something that's already been bought for me. I cannot. How can you bribe God? How could we what was that song? If religion was a thing money could buy, the rich would live and the poor would die. Well, folks, there's many people that believe. And people say, well, you know, as long as you believe in something. Well, no. As long as you believe in something. I mean, I've dealt with enough, the criminal element, for enough years to know they believe in just about anything but Christ. A lot of people believe in something. But Jesus says, I want you to know that I love you. And I want you to know that I understand the temptations of life that you're going through. I want you to know, Larry, I want you to know that I understand your particular temptations that you go through. That's why I took time, my dying process, to conquer personally for each and every one of us, conquer those temptations that will befall each individual human being that will ever exist. How's about dealing with that kind of pressure on you? No wonder Jesus was sweating as drops of blood. I mean, I can picture that Randy and I alone wouldn't make him sweat that much just thinking about our past and our present. But think of carrying those such weight of all that would ever exist. And Jesus, knowing us by name, not only did he know us by name, the scripture says he counts our tears, he sees them, he knows how many has fallen, the hair on their head, and anything that goes on in our life. Now, folks, that's real God. The reality of true love. I love you when you're right. I love you when you're wrong. I just love you. So it comes back on us is the difference that Easter makes is that I understand through the resurrection of Jesus that he sealed me and you unto that day. What's that day? Unto that day. The day the Lord says, that's it. Now, when God says, that's it, that's it. Got it? And when God says, you're mine, I'm his, that's it. No arguments. Satan doesn't have a shot. The next one is, what does the resurrection mean? I'm sorry. It means that Jesus has the power he claimed that he had. Matthew 28, verse 18, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. Now remember, this comment is made by Jesus after the resurrection. All power, my Father has given me power on earth. Remember? The power that I have here is given to me by God the Father. Okay, what was the argument? Why did Satan think that he could tempt Jesus to begin with, the Son of God? Because Satan knew, Jesus knew, that God gave him power upon earth to allow things to happen. Still does. And Jesus then, people say, well, you know, I don't see how that was such a temptation, because Jesus, Son of God, could never have fallen to the temptation. If that's a fact, then he could not have been 100% human. Right? Everything that went on with Jesus physically, spiritually, was growth. What goes on with us physically, spiritually? Growth. As we grow in the Spirit of Christ, we smile more and walk slower. You and I have been blessed. Oh, I can never say this enough. We were born in a generation of pure grace and mercy. And only the ancients, all of those who cried out that the Lord is coming, they preached about it, but they would never see it come to fruition. You and I have. Pretty special, folks. John 10, verse 18. Jesus speaking again. No one takes my life from me. There again, we know that nobody and not one person at that crucifixion will ever be in hell because of that sin at the crucifixion. No one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up. So when they say, yeah, but, and they blame the Jews. Well, they're Christ killers. Jews didn't kill Christ. Our sins of the human race is what killed Christ. So therefore, if the human race sins is the power that put him on that cross, then you and I would be as guilty as anyone else. Romans, the Jewish leaders that were there, would all be the same. But the thing is, remember, Jesus is the one who said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Therefore, when Jesus prayed a prayer, God always answered it. So therefore, everybody there was forgiven. Interestingly enough, including me and you. How many times do you guess that in our life we put Christ back on that cross? In our actions that we have denied that we know him. Oh, Peter knows that feeling well. Number three of what does the resurrection mean? It means that Jesus does what he promises to do. When Jesus says, I will do it, you don't have to worry about him getting it done. And every time you ask him, well, I know you're going to do it, Lord, but I want you to do it right now so I can see it. Lord, I know I've read your word and that all my enemies, because you love me and because I've accepted Jesus, that all my enemies are going to fall. I understand that, Lord, but I'd just appreciate it if you let me watch it. See, we pull the old human nature stuff right back in on it. What God does for us, he does once for all. And when you read the scripture, this is what I'm going to do in your protection, it takes us almost a lifetime to realize I don't have to worry about my protection. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. It's already taken care of. I don't know what it's going to bring anyway. What good to do me to worry about a day that isn't here yet? I mean, good gracious, I could die before tomorrow and then I've wasted all that time worrying about it. Right? Okay. Mark 10, verse 34. Listen to what he says. They will mock and flog and kill me. But after 3 days, I will come back to life again. Now, if his disciples, who said they loved him so much, the very ones that fell asleep, remember? But they loved him so much. And he said, can you not stay awake just for a little bit? Well, folks, since that time, the church has been asleep. And the Lord says, in 3 days I will come back to life again. I take it that they probably just slept through that part of his statement simply because they didn't believe the women. They thought they had seen a ghost again. Well, you know, they were really big, and no, it was a ghost. It wasn't the Lord. And Jesus, remember that morning, Jesus fixed breakfast for them there one morning. And he said, do you see a ghost can eat and cook? Jesus, once again, trying to teach the hard-headed followers who truly did love him as well as they could. But now, what was their problem? Jesus says, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth now, after he had conquered it all. But the Holy Spirit had not yet poured out upon them. So what were they having to deal with? They were used to walking with Jesus in bodily form. See, the Holy Spirit of God was right there with them. They could see him. And Jesus says, I'm going. They think nothing's going to matter anymore because we know who Jesus is and he's gone. What hope do we have? And once again, they had forgotten that he said, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will send my counselor, the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit of truth has descended upon you, you will know. That's Pentecost. That's a focus of the very ones who turned and ran were the very ones who laughed at death. Once the Holy Spirit, the day of grace, day of mercy that you and I were born into, this generation, the first generation Christians, could not feel the touch that you and I felt as soon as we said yes to Jesus. They could not feel that touch until Jesus' Holy Spirit was poured out within them. See how blessed we are. Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. The angel said, don't be frightened. It was at the tomb with the women. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here. Wonder why? He has come back to life again, just as he said he would do. Okay, when Jesus makes a promise, that promise is kept. Count on it, that promise, as it's already fulfilled. You will get to be with me in paradise, already fulfilled. Well, you mean, what if you mess up between now and the day of paradise? I can't. See, paradise is not of my making. It's a gift from God. Mercy and grace is direct from Jesus Christ. I am not saved because of what I have done, nor can I be lost about the foolish things that I do. I can be saved one way, and that's through belief in Jesus Christ. How can I believe? Through the grace and mercy of the outpouring of his Holy Spirit to convict me and to convict you. Therefore, the whole salvation process is a gift from God. The only focus we have is to say, I believe. Once again, that's why the enemies of Christianity are so stern. Christianity is too simple. I like to see them walk just one day in the shoes of our Lord, of his life, if they think it's so simple. Next, why does the resurrection even matter? Because now, my past can be forgiven. See, in the past, before grace and mercy, Can you imagine that how many bulls and heifers, how many sacrifices that would have to just be made? I can't imagine how many just for myself under the law. Well, you better have a big herd. And the Lord said, you know, that stuff didn't mean anything to me to begin with. They even had the wrong focus on that. It all represented the ultimate blood that would come to be shed for us through our King, Jesus. Okay. Colossians 3, verse 14. He has forgiven all our sins. Now, what part of all does anybody have trouble with? Well, yeah, but not that kind of sin and not this kind of sin. Really? I thought all meant all. And canceled, whew, let me read it from the beginning. He has forgiven all our sins and canceled every record of the debt we owe. I mean, folks, he didn't discredit it. It was canceled. They couldn't, I don't care how smart you are, not getting those pieces back together, because it's been canceled. Every debt that we owed has been canceled through the love of Christ. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. And we treat the cross and his blood with disrespect. Next, why does his resurrection matter? Means that our present problems can be managed. You think you're in over your head? The person that doesn't know Jesus, or they're in over their head. Anything that's going on in our life, I don't care how large a problem it seems like to us, because of Jesus' resurrection, that means those problems can be managed. They just can't be managed by us. We tried to straighten our messes out. What do you do when you try to straighten your mess out? You make another mess or make that mess larger. Ephesians 1 verse 20. How incredibly great is his power to help those who believe him. I don't have power to help myself. Remember the folk had talked about God helps those who help himself. That's not scriptural. God helps those who can't help themselves. Well, now, you've got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. I don't even know how to strap the boots. What's a child going to do when that child cries out to the Lord and that child doesn't know? Well, you know, I'm afraid that child just, you know, they just don't understand everything about what this means. I've been preaching for 40 years, folks, and I don't understand a fraction of what it all means. Faith means faith, not something someone can prove to me or to you. I believe Jesus. Well, can you explain why? No. I believe because he's my Lord. He's had grace on me. I believe in him. He is my Redeemer. Not me. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Okay. That means then you and I are involved now receiving the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. Yes. Philippians 4:13. I am ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives in me. Or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. According to what version you're looking at. But it all says the same thing. It means in Christ is my strength. And the last one. My future can be secured. Actually, and I did this and looking at it 50 times, it should be my future is secure. But it can be secured through the resurrection. It is secured through that resurrection. But I know my thought process at that time, because you see, it's not secured if you don't believe first. All right. John 17, verse 3. This is the way to have eternal life. You ready? I want eternal life. People you talk to, okay. This is the way to have eternal life. By knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ, the one he sent to earth. The only way I can have eternal life. Folks, you and I truly don't want the fountain of youth. We want the fountain of life. What good's the youth that we will have? What if I have the fountain of youth and I remain just as ugly as it was? You know, in Christ, I have that eternal life. Is he not our fountain of life? Is he not the living water for us? Only the human mind will focus on the needs of the human existence, or the sensual needs. Only the human mind will think of that. You can never attribute a human desire to the heavenly realm. For one thing, you don't understand it. Well, heaven can't even be explained to us in words that we could understand, because there are no such words in our language or the language of the human existence. Only through the Spirit. 1 Peter 1, 3. We have been born again into now, again, according to what any of the translation, born again, born from above, born anew, they're all correct. We have been born again into a life full of hope through Christ rising from the dead. The greatest fear that will be confront any human being is the fear of death. And those who do not know Christ, their fear of death is legitimate. Because if they don't know Christ, then they shall truly die. But in Christ, born again, born from above, I will have a life full of hope. That hopes through Christ rising from the dead. And I already know that he did. And the world is going to be mightily surprised, according to the scripture. Because Jesus says, I'm coming back. This time, I won't be riding in on a lowly donkey. This time, I won't be looking like the servant, for I am coming back for my family, my church, and I'm coming back as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and everyone will see me at the same time. Well, if you go ahead and study some of that, you'll notice it says now, when they say, here he is, or there he is, don't go there. Don't go there. If you got to go somewhere to see him, it ain't him. He says, when I come, everyone will see me, and they'll see me at the same time. Well, how's that going to work? I don't know. Hang around with us Christians, and we'll show you one day exactly how that's going to work. What a blessed week, folks. What a blessed generation for us to have been blessed to be born in. Let's take the gospel to the lost and dying world. And let's believe it ourselves before we take it. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you. Have a blessed rest of a holy week. Hope to see you at our congregation Sunday morning, if you don't have one of your own, 7 a.m. for sunrise service, 8 a.m. for breakfast. We'll even feed you at 10:50 will be our main service for that day. God bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.